Welcome to the Writer's Well podcast, conversations about writing from craft to wellness with Rachel Herron and Jay Thorne. Hello, Rachel.
Hello, Jay. Look at are those festive holiday lights behind you in your office?
No, they are mood lights.
Oh, even better, because then they can stay up all the time.
Yeah, and I'm the only one that's ever in this room, so I don't know what kind of mood I'm creating or for whom, but they're mood lights.
I'm a really big fan of white lights. I've always loved them being up.
I am hypersensitive to lighting in good and bad ways. You know, like overhead cubicle fluorescent lighting is like soul sucking, and yet
it will kill me.
Yeah. Candles and accent lighting, like it makes all the difference. It's so weird. Yep.
Oh, that's so romantic. You're romantic with yourself.
With myself.
Excellent.
Well, to change the very awkwardness of the topic that you just turned, I did want to say, I hope you take this the right way, but I love your hair long and natural.
Really?
I do.
Thank you.
I love it. Yeah.
I am loving it too. I feel really good about it. And for people who don't know what I look like, I have, I was always a brunette, and then my hair went totally white. Basically when I, quit my job. No, actually it was white before that, but so I went gray prematurely, and I love the silver, and it's getting really long. And for people listening, sorry, Jay, you started this. the secret that I have recently discovered is dry shampoo is not meant to be put in the morning. It's meant to be put in at night before you go to bed, and you wake up with fantastic hair.
Ah,
I just changed
that?
Lives. People change. You should try it tonight, Jay. Dry shampoo
before. Well, we're both on college campuses now and then, and I don't know if you've noticed this, but I have noticed an uptick in college-aged women dyeing their hair silver.
I am probably approached once a week as to how I got. It's like, where did you go? How did you get
really?
That perfect color? No lie. All the time. I think if I looked older, I probably wouldn't. They would know. But luckily, I look young enough that it looks like I paid for it. And it's really satisfying. And actually, one woman got mad at me once. She said, I can't believe that you young ladies are paying to go silver. And I'm paying to fight. And I'm like, no, lady, this is all mine. It's my one vanity. It really is. Mm. I don't have many vanities about my person, but I'm in love with my hair. So. Thanks.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. Gotta try the dry shampoo trick. Hey, I was just listening to Joanna Penn's podcast this morning, and she name dropped the Writer's Ink.
She did. Podcast. She's so kind, isn't she?
Yes. So I know that's going to bring a lot of listeners, and I have really been enjoying it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
It sounds so good.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and we're kind of haven't even started yet. Like, you know, like the interviews are coming, and oh my gosh, there's so many good ones, and it's those people are the stars. But yeah, it's thank you for that. And it's been great to see the Joanna hockey stick effect on your podcast and list analytics. It just goes woo straight up whenever she mentions. So
this probably won't have the same effect for Lindsay Broker and crew, but they have Lindsay Broker and Joe Lello and Andrea
Pearson.
I forgot her last name. Pearson have a new show called The Six Figure Author, yes. Which I've been enjoying. Have you heard that?
I have. Yeah, I've been listening to that as well. They had a great. I think they did a wrap up of Nink and of 20 books. If I remember
correctly.
Oh, cool.
I haven't gotten that far ahead. I'm only like 3 episodes in. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
What I'm enjoying about it is it's pretty high level. It is not for people starting out. It is, and it's all the questions that we ask each other when we're talking, you know? So yeah, if anybody's interested in that, that's if you've got a couple books in.
Side note for anyone who is thinking about starting their own podcast and thinks like, well, they've all been done, or there's too many writing space for everyone's voice. And all you really need to do is just find your angle, and not worry about appealing to everyone or all writers or all professionals, but find your little sliver of something and do it.
And your listeners will find you.
Yes,
even if it starts really slow and organically,
It will, right? I mean, every podcast starts very slowly. It's just how it goes.
Yeah, cool. I feel like I had something else to tell you. Oh, I do have something else to tell you. I have a book bub today.
Ooh.
On a Christmas three-story all-in-one world kind of thing. And we're currently at number 3 in free in the whole store.
Nice.
The book bub effect, and it'll last about 11 more minutes, but I'm
but
writing.
But perfectly timed with a holiday book. Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
That is not me. That is my incredible assistant, Ed Giordano, who just kept submitting to book bub. Every time he rejected us, he would get more determined. And wow. And that was fantastic because I don't have the bandwidth to keep submitting to them. And he's
what's your CTA in that? I'm assuming it's a free book. You said the free list, right?
It's a free book, excuse me. And it's three stories, me, Sophie, and Julie, my besties. And the thing is, they're both trad pubbed and don't really care about this. So I paid for the whole ad. Mm. And the only CTA at the back is the first chapter of Darling Slumbers.
Nice.
My main series and then a funnel through there. Oh, and you'll be happy to know that I actually set up a sequence, an autoresponder for the first time. And for anybody else that this might help, I have been meaning to set up a fiction list autoresponder sequence for 10 years, ever since I knew what they were. And I could not face sitting down and building one.
Yes.
And then Ed reminded me that I just had to make one. I just had to make one email. And if I know I need another one to go out the next week, I just have to make the next one by then. And I do really well on deadlines. One will be going out in 2 days for anybody who signs up today. And then after that 2 days, now then I've got to build the next one that comes out the next week or whatever. But I just wrote one.
Nice.
And it was so much easier than writing an entire sequence. So
cool. Any early indicators on how many signups you've gotten from that free book yet?
No, not yet, but I will let you know next week. Usually BookBub gives me a very, very nice bump. I generally get like two or three a day. I don't know. How many do you get a day organically?
Fiction's a little less than that. Nonfiction, I probably get two or three a day.
Yeah, that's nice. I probably don't get more than five ever between fiction and nonfiction. So a book bub, you know, anything is better than that.
Well, good. You'll have to report back and let us know both how you do on like downloads and rank and also signups.
I absolutely will. And I forgot to pull up the Patreon pledges, but we have some new ones.
Oh, so great.
Let me tell you about those.
Yes.
They are right here. We have two new patrons who are coming in at the level in which they're going to be in our Slack group.
Yay.
And they just came yesterday. So I'm not actually, then one this morning, one last night. So I'm actually not late in getting them in. But Jeremy Neander. Hello, Jeremy. Thank you so much. And another fellow named Brian Schwimmer. So
hey,
they will be joining us in our Slack group. And thank you guys so much. Anybody who supports us on Patreon, it really means the world. I get the money and then I send half of it over to Jay. And I really like sending him that money. Just know that it's helping us do this job. And that's over at patreon.com/thewritersawell.
Yeah. Thanks so much. It's helping to pay for the hosting that we need for the audio files. It's helping to pay for, the best VA in the world, other than yours, mine happens to be on my daughter. Who's
I love sending you that money to do the upload every time. I think
it's so great for me too, because like we would be paying someone, and so the fact that I get to hand my daughter the money and she feels that responsibility and is putting it towards summer camp is just it's just a win all the way
she's
around.
Putting it towards summer camp. That's adorable. Yep. Wait, I have to ask you, and I tell me if you don't want me to ask this, and then it'll be too late, and I will have already asked it. But who's doing the production on The Writer's Ink?
Well, I did the first couple, but my son is going to do The Writer's Ink production. I'm going to pay him
fabulous,
to do that.
Because that is really, really well produced. And I do love that intro and that you have, I don't know what they call them, but the sneak peek into the episode.
Yeah, the little teaser.
Teaser, super highfalutin, very fancy, something nothing we'll ever have.
No,
but it sounds great.
Thanks, and that's always going to be me because that's the audio editing, and that's what I have a lot of
that's
experience
what I was
doing.
About.
And I have it set up as a template, so I just drag and drop audio files, and I shift a few things around, and it's done. But one of the things that I'm working with my son, because my son's older, so my daughter, the VA work for her is simply like straight up scheduling, like that kind of stuff. But my son, who's going to be a senior in high school next year, I want him to learn how to do copywriting and SEO. And so we're working back and forth where I do the final version, but he's working in drafts and he's running them past me, like keywords and like phrases and bullet points. So I'm trying to teach him a little bit of how to do some of the marketing stuff too.
That is amazing. That is truly amazing. Hey, have you tried Descript, using Descript?
You know, yeah. I haven't. And here's why. there's a cost involved. And even, you know, even with, well, Pippa, which is now Acast, or bought by Acast, who's our podcast hoster, they offer that one click like AI transcription, but and that's free. But the cost involved there is the time to edit it or pay someone to clean it up. And I think the script might be the same. And the reason I haven't like really gone on that full tilt yet is because Google is starting to index the audio files of podcasts themselves. So I'm feeling like the text-based transcription might not be as like essential as it was even just a few years ago.
I've been struggling to figure that out for myself. I actually have Ed. He set up, he uses Descript to get the transcription and then sends it to another cheaper VA to do the cleanup.
Yeah.
And then put on my site. But I haven't been embedding any of this stuff on my site for so long.
Yeah.
That I figure it can't hurt for a little while, but it will be really interesting to see if that is necessary. But the thing that Descript does that I like is that you can just basically go move forward in the text when you're listening to it, select the words somebody said and just copy and paste them back to the beginning, like in your bumper, in your teaser.
Yes.
That's, you know, it's just takes seconds, but it is $15. It's another, yet another $15 a month.
Right. That's what I mean. So. There's a cost, no matter what, there's a cost, yeah. You know, unless you're, yeah, unless it magically shows up as a transcript in its perfect form, there's a cost somewhere. And yeah. So I'm waiting to see, I'm following a lot of what Joanna's talking about with audio and waiting to see kind of where the Google algorithm shakes out, because if they really are prioritizing audio first searches, which is what it sounds like is happening, then I feel like if your podcast is up there and it gets indexed through Google, then that might be good enough. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very cool. We'll continue to talk about that.
Yes.
Excellent. Cool.
Well, so last week's episode was number 153, and the question was, how do you name your characters?
And people like this one.
People really did. Yeah, there were such a wide range of responses, too.
Yeah.
I love that. Christopher, of course, jumped in first, and he needed the name right up front. He felt like it was... he had to get to know the character, and having their name was definitely important to him. So that was sort of different than the way I do it. But Annie talked about placing Easter eggs in character names, like, you know, names of family members or friends. She also talked about...
I have done that. That is fun.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. She also talked about how it's challenging if you have two character names that are very similar, like Sauron and Saruman from Lord of the Rings. And I can definitely relate to that.
I read that, and I'm not even sure I ever really realized they were different characters.
Yeah. That's for all the fantasy nerds out there, Rachel. It's okay.
I know, seriously.
RJ said he likes to use names that have some sort of relation to the character traits that they have. Becky, I like how Becky in her username now put all Reb with parentheses Becky, because I'm always like all Reb, and you're like, no, that's Becky.
She was fascinated because she came at it from a linguist.
Yes. Yes.
That was so cool.
Which is very much like Tolkien would have done. You know, he was a linguist. So that was interesting. Shalina says it's a slippery slope because she's always trying to outdo her previous names. Like, yeah, that's a where does that stop? That's a tough one. Woo. Edwin's not precious about names. Kate takes her naming more seriously than she should.
It could be a procrastination tool.
It could be, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. She and Maggie said she had the same problem as Kate, and that a lot of the characters have the same sounding names or same types of names. That's always a challenge. Deanna does a lot of research in for her urban fantasy series around names and how they connect and finding good names among the graves in a graveyard, which is something we talked about, right? Stephanie chimed in, and Sarah and Kim and Jenny and Katie and Tori and Inez and Paul and Tom and Tammy. So thank you, everyone. We should get talk about all of your comments, but then we would be here for 4 hours and we get nothing else talked about.
It wouldn't be that interesting. I will point out one though. I can't remember who said it, and I don't want to, scroll too far, but, mentioned looking it up on IMDb because I have often, when you're sitting in the theater waiting for that post superhero pre, you know, post trailer that's at the end of the movie. You're just sitting there looking at all those names. And many times I get out my camera and I just take a picture of the screen because those names are so unique because they're all in the movie industry. So they do not want to be Paul Smith. Uh-huh. Even if you're a gaffer or a lighting guy, you want to be unique. So they have these, like, you know, Scruggs, Wilson, Wicket, you know, and there's fantastic names. But then I never think to refer back to my photo. But she mentioned you could just pull it up on IMDb and look at all these incredible names. They're inclusive. They're from all over the world. It's really a great place to
fish. I never thought of that. That's a great source.
Cool.
Well, thanks everyone for commenting. We always appreciate those, and we'll jump in there when we can, and feel free to comment on each other's. That's kind of fun too, to see the listeners interacting with each other on these questions. So
I love it when people do that.
Yeah. Well, I have, I'm going to have a question for you. I realized back to back, because I have one for you this week. And then our next episode is the last one of the month, which is a health themed one. My turn on relationships.
Ooh, cool. That's okay, because I had a couple back to back last month when the same kind of thing happened.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I feel like I haven't had one from you for a while, so I'm looking forward to this.
Okay. I don't know how this is going to go.
Oh, boy. I love these ones.
I hope it's not too much of a downer in this holiday season, but I think it's a really interesting question, and I want to hear your answer. So you can take this however you want, but here's the question. What has been the most challenging thing you've done professionally in the recent past?
I have two immediate answers to this. And one is not depressing, and one is also not depressing, but it's a little bit darker. So I'll tell you that one first. When I asked you that question, that rocked our writers' world and had people reaching out. And
which one was that?
That? I know which one. It was the "Is it worth it?"
Oh yeah. Comment. Okay.
I really asked that because at that point, because I was having a very hard time getting to the page. I know this. I struggle more than you do at consistently getting to the page. I read a lot of words. I get a lot of books done, but you are the stoic of the family, of the Writer's Well family, of our little family here. And I am more the person who, I really do have those days where I get everything else done, but I don't get my writing done because I'm metaphorically hiding my head under the covers. Yeah. I can't quite face the page. I don't know what's going to happen. I feel uncomfortable. So the most difficult thing for me, is that the question? The most difficult thing for me recently? Or how did you phrase
it? The most challenging thing you've done professionally.
The most challenging thing I've done professionally recently is re-upping to answer the question the same way that I always have, which is, do I want to write? And the answer is yes. And because the answer is yes, that means recommitting to actually getting the work done. There's so much work, and you know this, there's so much work. I could be busy all day, every day from now until the end of 2025 and work an 8-hour day and optimize and promote and teach and do all these other things. But writing is the only thing that matters, really, when it comes right down to it. And so it was very, very challenging for me to remember that and to get back into it and to get back into it on a daily basis. And it seems like I'm at a point in my career that this is actually a little bit embarrassing to admit that I always run up against this, especially I think in the winter months. I don't get the blues. I'm actually opposite. I kind of get like a seasonal depression around the summertime, and I feel more energetic in the winter. Me and both my sisters feel like that, but I get this winter fear, maybe, like, and I don't talk about it much. I don't write about it much, but I think that's why when I write my emails and essays to writers is maybe why people resonate with them, because I really understand what it feels like to not be able to face the page.
Yeah.
And so the challenge that I've overcome, and I'm really overcoming it, I'm showing up every day and getting the work done. And what that has looked like for me is just making sure that it's my number one priority.
Yeah.
It just has to be. The other challenge that I am continually overcoming is that of being scared financially.
Yeah.
And doing things that I don't want to be doing. And I can't remember if we've talked about this on the show, but
like what?
the way I fired my $100 Patreon clients. Have we talked about that on this show?
We've talked about it. I don't remember if it was on the show or not.
I know you and I have talked about it. And I don't remember talking about it on the show, so I apologize if I have. But yeah, I went on vacation and I felt burned out, and I read this great book called Chillpreneur, which is a terrible title, but a very good book about doing what we love and getting paid for doing what we love and doing and really doing what we love. And I realized that I was spending so much time coaching. It was awesome. I had 10 clients at $100 a month. That's easy math. That's an extra $1,000, which is really important to me and my household. And it was just, it was at the expense of writing. Yes. And I was looking at the writing choices I was making, and I wasn't writing because I was reading so much work and editing so much work. So I came home from that vacation and I fired all of them, gently and lovingly. And I love all of them, but you know, it's really a strange thing to come to the conclusion that, no, I need to give up money. And I'm not rich, but I need to give up this money too. And I didn't really realize until I started talking that these two things went hand in hand, that I was able to get over the challenge of not being able to get the page by reducing stress on another front that was keeping me from the page. And I'm really glad you asked this. I do feel like I just have so much more energy now.
Wow.
About my work. I have one long-term client who I will never fire because I love her and we're friends and I love working with her every week. And I am still available for coaching on a one-off basis, like tune-ups, but nothing else. Everything else is going into the writing. So, and that was a huge challenge and I'm still scared of it. And I'm not sure where the extra money is going to come from, but I know it will work out. I know it's going to. And just by dint of me being able to write more and faster, that's going to increase finances too. Well, so the challenges I have gotten over are my perennial one of avoiding the page and being scared to take the leap that I knew I did.
Well, you can say scared, and maybe you were scared, but you're also extremely courageous, because I think we've talked about this before, where you and I are in a situation where our spouse's income alone is not going to meet the bills.
No way.
And the fact that you not only passed on the opportunity, but you turned off a sure $1,000 a month. Like, that's the other thing too. This was not a one-off opportunity where you could make $1,000 and you said, no, thank you. You were already making it on a regular basis and you turned it off. And that is extremely courageous.
Not only that, but the week after I did that, an acquaintance reached out to me, and she runs a big coaching school, writer coaching school. And she offered me about $800 a month doing the same thing for about the same amount of time. And I passed on that too.
Yeah.
I just said no. And, you know, in some months I only bring home 4,000, and I really need to bring home 3,600 in order to meet our bills. So to take that hit, but it feels right. And it has felt good and golden. And I know that it's right. But it was difficult. It was really, really difficult. So I'm glad that those two things came into focus for me, that they are connected. I hadn't really noticed that.
Yeah.
What about you? I'm dying to know.
Well, this is all your fault. This question, this conversation is all your fault, because,
why?
Well, I've been working on my memoir homework, and I've been sort of going back, taking some time just to reflect, to write some things down, and try and remember some of the things that have happened in my life over the past couple of years. And in doing so, this question kind of popped into my head, and I was at first hesitant to even talk about it, because it's sad, and it's something we've already been through. Of course, it has to do with my dad's passing. But on the other hand, like, I thought it was the kind of thing that it's got to be in my memoir. Like, it has to be. And I thought, you know, one of the things I want to be able to do is, in ways that serve our audience, talk about some of the issues and things that I came up with that I'm going to write about in the memoir, and kind of seeing how the audience feels, because the memoir is mine, but it's really for the reader. And I want to make sure what I'm writing about is something people can relate to.
I love that you said that. There's definitely a place to stand when you're talking about memoir and saying, this is for me. But that's just a story you're telling yourself. If you're writing a memoir, you really are writing it to share with other people.
Good.
So what is this? What is exactly the challenge that you are overcoming?
Yeah, here? It was a double whammy. So it was two like yours. So here's what happened, right? I think I may have mentioned this, but it's been a while, and I'm sure I wasn't in the right state of mind to talk about it as objectively as I can now. I have a little distance from it now. But in October of last year of 2018, when my dad got sick, what had happened was Zach and I had planned the Night of the Writing Dead writer's retreat in Pittsburgh. It was going to be October 5th and 6th. And my family all lives in Pittsburgh. And my plan was going to be to stop in and see my dad, because my mom was working, my dad was at home, he was retired. I was going to stop in and see him for a few hours and then go straight from there to the event, because we were going to have a dinner for our VIP guests. We were going to host. It was going to be me and Zach, and I can't remember if Piper Brook was there or not at the dinner. And then like two or three of the people who paid for the VIP ticket, we were taking them out to dinner. So I thought, oh, great, I'll go hang with my dad for a few hours, drive 20 minutes into town and be there, right? Well, that was the morning my dad called me and said, I've got stage 4 pancreatic cancer. And so I was like, okay, Dad, well, I'm coming to Pittsburgh. Like, I'll come to your house, right? And as you can imagine, when I got to the house, you know, he was just sitting on the couch, like speechless. My brother.
I can't imagine that drive for you too.
Well, yeah, the drive. Yeah, the drive was like 2 hours, and I don't even remember it. Like, I was autopilot, you know, like I was just kind of stunned. And when I got to my dad's house, my mom was still at work and my brother was there and my brother was in tears. And like, they didn't, no one called my mom yet. And they're like, we're afraid. Cause like, if we call her, she's just going to like break down. She's not gonna be able to drive home.
So she didn't know.
So she didn't know yet. So the three of us, me, my dad, my brother are sitting there in the living room. And then I look at my watch and I'm like, guys, I have to go to this event. Like, and they totally understood. And that was one of the single most difficult things I've ever had to do in my life.
I cannot imagine. And I would say that I know you made the right choice, but I think a lot of people wouldn't have been able to carry through.
Well, and part of it
had the fortitude to do it.
Maybe. I think the other side of that is, if I hadn't had the love and support from Zach, I would have made a different decision.
Oh my God, now you're going to make me cry.
Well, yeah, don't, because then I'm going to start crying.
But like, no, none of that.
No, I mean, it's true. Like I was so shaken up, and I was like, but part of me was like, I'm a professional, and like, this is what professionals do. And you know, my dad wasn't dead, but like the news was pretty bad. And I wanted to just crawl into a hole. I didn't want to be around anyone, not even my family. And but I was like, I have to do this. Like, these people deserve this experience. They need to get the best of me, the best I can. And I had Zach there and to kind of prop me up in the moments when we weren't dealing with people. And you know, that drive particular, going to that dinner was one of the most hardest. That was one of the hardest things I've ever done. And then the whole weekend, like, I knew things were happening with my family, and I knew phone calls were being made, and I was at this, you know, event and was trying to be as upbeat and as positive and helpful as I could. And it was really hard. And I think what was really then why I called it a double whammy is that 3 weeks later, my dad died, right? And about 2 weeks after the event, I was going back and forth to Pittsburgh because he was in and out of the hospital, and they were trying to determine if they were going to do chemo or whatever, and he was getting progressively worse. And I was talking to my mom, and I'm like, Mom, Authors on a Train is in 2 weeks. Like, I don't know what to do. And
these are not things that, like, we don't work at a business with 10 people.
Yeah, you don't call in sick when you...
You and Zach.
Yeah. Yeah, and I couldn't, like, screw him. I couldn't be like, well, buddy, good luck. You got to do Authors on a Train by yourself, you know? Right. And I was like, Mom, I don't know what to do. Like, because he was getting worse, but I'm like, what if he dies like the day I'm leaving? Like, what do I, and she was like, don't worry about it. She's like, it'll work out the way it's supposed to. Just don't worry about it. And it, unfortunately it did. I mean, you know, he passed away a few weeks before Authors on a Train, but like that period, that was professionally, like talking about like the hardest thing to do professionally, that was it for me. It was like first to get to Night of the Writing Dead, and then to survive those next couple weeks thinking about Authors on a Train and what that could look like. And it was hard.
And I bet your attendants at both didn't know.
No. And we didn't tell them. No, I did tell the Authors on a Train people. And I think they knew.
That's
because
24/7 you're with them.
Yeah.
You know, I can't see how you couldn't tell them.
Yeah. And I think like I wasn't on the Career Author podcast the next week. I don't think I was on this one
you
either.
You were not on ours either. We got you covered.
Yeah. I had a few weeks after, I mean, it was still only a few weeks, but it was like, and my dad wanted to be cremated. So like all the other stuff was done, you know, that was a little, but the Night of the Writing Dead, like I'm telling you, like emotionally, Zach was behind me the whole weekend, hold me up, and Piper Brook was a great guy too. He came and like hung out at the Airbnb and you know, shooting the shit and trying to laugh and, you know, just trying to lighten things up a little bit. But yeah, that was a challenge. I'm horrified by it, and it's come up like in my memoir, and it's so painful to think about. But it's also something I'm really proud of because I do feel like I don't know if it was the right decision, but I felt good about what I did and how I did it. And I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if I would have felt that way if I hadn't made that same decision.
And you and Zach have been like family for a long time, but that was just another way to see that, you know,
yeah.
It is really everything when we let our friends take care of us when we need to be taken care of. And I think as introverts and as solo entrepreneurs and stuff, it's just a very difficult thing to allow. And when my bestie Julie, who's in that box set, lost her son, basically Sophie and I went and got in her bed and didn't get out for days.
Yeah.
That was our job, was basically to lie on top of her and let the world do everything else around us. But
yeah. I don't want to sound like, I don't want this to come off as negative, but this is really a compliment to Zach because I have, or had, depending on how you look at it, guys I had been friends with since I was a teenager, and they disappeared during that time. Like they didn't, and like they knew what was happening and like didn't call, didn't like come to the service, like just weren't there. And people have their reasons. I'm not passing judgment, but like, I think when you're in a situation like that, when you're in a crisis and you look up and you see who's in front of you, like those are kind of the people that matter.
They really are. And that's the thing. That's another thing about death, is that you never know who will be able to be next to you until it happens. And when you see that, it's why we live our lives, is for this kind of connection, right?
Yeah.
To support and be supported. And this is not depressing to me. This is beautiful and huge and lovely. And I just really have been thinking a lot about connection and why we write. And we write to be connected. I write so that I can know my thoughts, but I also write, like we were talking about memoir, you write to have a reaction with somebody else, to partake in that.
Yeah.
And you see that on the ground level.
Yes.
Around you. And this is a love letter to Zach. Oh no, this is like a Christmas miracle.
No, and I also hope it's something that others, because we're all either will be or have gone through this. Yeah. It's going to happen to all of us, and hopefully others can learn or gain some sort of insight into the situation just by listening to these stories. And I mean, that's what memoir is about. Like that's how I'm starting to, that's at the very beginnings of this project. That's kind of how I'm approaching it. Like, how can someone else gain some wisdom or insight from this?
Yes. I love that.
Good.
I love that question. What a great question.
Good.
So we would like to know from readers, how have you restate it, please, because I never get the words right.
Yeah. What has been the most challenging thing you've done professionally in the recent past?
And we will be over at thewriterswell.org to read about those. And I bet people are going to bring us really, really good things.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to reading them and commenting on them.
Yay.
Yes.
Thank you, Jay.
Thank you.
Wonderful. And happy writing for this week.
Same to you. Bye. Yeah.